Hello, listeners, and welcome to Project Understory, a nonfiction storytelling podcast that delves into the deeper meaning of nature experiences. Does your love for the outdoors resonate in your bones? So does ours. We are storytellers, students, and teachers connected to the Central Wisconsin Environmental Station. We are meaning makers, seeking to understand the world and ourselves better through the dappled shade of a balsam fir or the haunting call of a loon across a lake. Here, you can hear our stories of adventure and contemplation, and perhaps discover your own understory.
Hello, Project Understory listeners. This is Becca Moots, and I am an undergrad student at UWSP, majoring in elementary education and minoring in environmental education. I have many great stories and experiences in the great outdoors, but today I'm going to share about one of my experiences camping in the Boundary Waters in Minnesota with an unexpected visitor. The title of this podcast is We Are Not Alone. We had drove for hours, 8 hours to be exact, and we were happy to have finally hit the gravel roads, meeting not a single other vehicle and starting to see the Boundary Waters entrance point signs. We were really alone. We unloaded our canoes and packed them full of our gear for the next 4 days. I stood in awe of the sight in front of me, endless bodies of lake water, surrounded by tall pine trees and not a single building or town in sight. We started to paddle, the wind howling through the air. We moved slowly across the lake to our first portage point. We finally made it and unloaded our gear, picked up the canoe over our heads and carried it through the woods to the next lake, making another separate trip for the rest of our equipment. The sun was shining and I felt so free. It was just me, my friends, and the wilderness. After two more portages, we made it to an area that we thought would be suitable for setting up camp. We explored the area and then began to set up our tents and get everything situated. Right after that, we got back into our canoes, eager to fish. We paddled up a river that connected us to another lake and tried our luck with our fishing poles. We were after walleyes. After hours of fishing, we were successful with one walleye. Happy that we caught one, it still would not be much for the four of us to share. We pulled the canoe up on shore near where we were fishing and flayed the fish on the canoe paddle, leaving the remains there far from camp to avoid any unwanted visitors. We got back to our camp right at sunset and began making our fire to cook our dinner. We gathered the dry, dead wood we could find and began frying our fish. After we enjoyed our meal, we washed all of the dishes off at a point in the lake, put the grease back in the glass bottle, and secured the rest of our food in our food bag. After enjoying the campfire, trying to stay warm in the chilly May evening weather, we packed everything up before bed. Now, we wanted to be really sure and safe with any animals that would be interested in our leftover food and any of the smells that could come from our meals, so we took our food bag and strung a rope through it. We walked a good distance from our camp, finding the perfect tree to hang our food from and hopefully keep it from bears. We found a rock for a weight and after multiple attempts got the bag up in the tree and tied it off. At this point, it was completely dark and we were out in literally the middle of nowhere with just flashlights. We walked back to our campfire and tents, getting an eerie feeling at the cracking of the branches and leaves beneath our feet and scurrying of the noises off in the distance. Once we got back to our tents, which were really close to the lake, I found a large flat rock to lay on, and I laid there and looked up at the stars. I had never seen so many stars in my life. The sky was huge, the air was still, and overall, everything was quiet and peaceful. It was just us out there, and it felt good. I had a smile of amazement on my face that hardly left the entire time we were there. Before climbing into our tents to go to sleep, I had to take a walk up to our latrine bathroom that was dug out. The latrine was a good 300 feet from our tents. I took the winding little trail through the woods up the hill, following the light of my headlamp. While I was up there, I could briefly hear my friends talking at the fire yet, but yet what I heard more was every crack of a twig and move of a branch. Something was off in the distance, and whether it was a squirrel or a bear, I was not sticking around to find out. We went to sleep that night. However, I was so cold and shivering, I did not get a good night's rest. I laid there and just listened. Most of the time, it was completely silent. Every once in a while, there would be a bird that would sing or let a chirp out. And then again, I heard what I had heard earlier that night. Something was walking around not too far from my tent. Step, crunch, step, crunch. With that, I tried to snuggle deeper into my sleeping bag and hope that whatever was making that noise would not be closer than it already was. After a long, restless night, I woke up shivering cold. There was a little light shining through the tent, so I decided to get up. Two of my friends were already up and starting a fire to cook breakfast. We went and got the food bag down from the tree, which seemed to be untouched. We made our meal, and I was enjoying some coffee on the same rock that I had watched the stars from the night before. But now the fog was lifting off the lake as the sun was beginning to shine and warm the surface. One of my friends, Eli, had gone for a little walk to find more wood for the fire, when all of a sudden I heard him yell. Not loudly yell, but the kind of yell you do when you want to get someone's attention while still going somewhat unnoticed. Becca, Tristan, come quick, but move slow. You have to see this. I sensed the excitement yet fear in his voice. My heart rate began to speed up a little, thinking, what could he be seeing? What would we do if it was a bear that got too close and wanted the remnants of our breakfast? Where would we go and what would happen? We walked over there, hearts thumping. Thump, thump, thump. And that's when I first saw it. A big brown blob on the shoreline, not too far down the lake. It looked like what was a small bear cub. The adrenaline moving through my body as I continued to walk a little further, hiding behind Tristan somewhat. This brown blob continued to get closer, and we started to back up. The others were starting to get nervous, too. As it continued to get closer, our breathing picked up, as we thought, we are not alone. Eventually, the blob got close enough that we realized we had made a mistake. This brown blob of an animal moving closer to us was not a bear cub, but rather a beaver. The biggest beaver any of us had ever seen in our lives. It swam up from shore a little bit and spotted us, slapping its tail on the water 3 times before swimming away, as if he had given us a warning. Now, we all felt really silly for being so excited, nervous, and scared about the beaver, and instantly asked Eli how he had mixed up a bear with a beaver. However, in his defense, it was one giant beaver. The next 3 days, as we continued to fish and enjoy all that the boundary waters had to offer, we saw the same beaver multiple times, as if he was watching us and did not want us to forget that he was there and this was his home. We were not alone. The following days were some of the best ones of my life, living off the land and only what we had carried in our canoes. I took in every bit of scenery that I could, and I spent every night in awe of the sunset across the lake. I couldn't look away from it. It was one of the best views I had ever seen. I would sit in the sun and stare at the lake during the day, focusing on the silence that was around me. It was so quiet and still. I seemed so small. I woke up with the rest of the woods as the sun was rising, the fog was lifting, and the wildlife was beginning to move and come alive. This trip helped me appreciate the little things more than ever, and I felt connected with nature and really connected with myself too. The trip was simple, and I was happy. Just when I thought we were alone out there, I would remember that we aren't alone. We never really are. There are always animals and wildlife, trees and leaves, the wind and fresh air and beautiful sights, the beauty in small moments. We just need to slow down, take a breath, look around, and take it all in, appreciating all that we can in the great outdoors. Thank you for listening.
This has been a production of Project Understory. A special thanks to Create Portage County in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. Check them out at createportagecounty.org for their many resources available to local artists and creatives. We hope we entertained and inspired you today to encounter nature in new and meaningful ways.